morning, Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam, from the same time zone. Here we are.
I know. I flew 22 hours to come and touch your body.
I knew it. I knew you couldn't stay away from me for any longer.
What are these nails?
Oh,
they're
like
a little hookerish, which I love so much because they're long and sexy.
Oh, yeah. They're called coffin nails.
Oh, my God. Because you want to be on a coffin after you put them in. You're like, I'm dead.
That's the shape. And yes, they are like nails to kill. I mean, they're like kind of hookery, but I'm into it. I'm in my like hooker nail era.
Oh my God, I just had a milestone birthday. I don't want to tell people how old I turned, but I feel like I'm really starting to want to play up with my look. Mm. So I got everything waxed down there.
Get it, girl?
Yes. Oh, and the woman looks at me and I go, how old do you think I am? And remember, she's waxing my hoo-ha. And she goes, oh, about 40. And I was like, does my vagina look 40? She didn't even look at my face, which means that your vagina ages.
I mean, that's a harsh reality that I think we're going to have to face.
Is your vagina aged?
I mean, I need to get in there again with a full mirror and kind of like check her out and see how she's doing. I haven't done any highlights or any nips and tucks down there yet, but
would you ever get a vagina facelift?
You know, I think I would.
You would.
I think I would. Why not?
Why not?
If it makes me feel good,
why not? If you do it on your face, why not do it in the most important area of your body? And I think our next guest, we're going to ask her if she would do a vagina facelift because we are actually in LA at Podcast One. Podcast One, please have us on your network. Please. We would love to stay here.
Our new home.
Our new home. So who do we have next, Roxy Soxy?
So we have one of our friends of the podcast returning. I mean, everybody knows who she is. She's amazing. She's a mom. She's a wife. She's one of the stars of Real Housewives of the OC. Mm-hmm. And we just love everything that she does. So
and she's married to a really hot doctor.
A hot plastic surgeon.
How do we get a hot doctor?
Exactly. So this lady, we are so thrilled to welcome back. Welcome Heather Dubrow.
Hi. By the way, Shaman, I had a milestone birthday, so I wanted to change up my look. So I had my vagina waxed. Like the thing that no one is seeing except your husband.
I know.
Excellent.
And me.
Way to go in big.
Wait, but is that confirmed? Is he the only one seeing it?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I'm about to break some news today on
only
the show.
OnlyFans, here we come.
You know what? I'm getting older, so if OnlyFans is the only way for me to make some money, who knows? I don't know. This business, like you just...
I've never been on OnlyFans.
I've never been on OnlyFans. Although,
I don't know what it is. I know what it is, but I don't... I honestly don't, like, when I hear about it, I think it's people having sex, but that's not...
It's not.
No. It's not.
It's showing bits of your body that you don't show on any other platform, correct?
Yes, yes. And I feel like we talked about this on another episode that we did. Get this. One woman who's on OnlyFans... She makes all of her money. Now, it's not an insignificant amount. It's hundreds of thousands a month.
Some people make a million a month.
So, for letting people watch her sleep at night.
I mean,
I can do that. You're like,
new skill set. Do you remember when you first started out as an actress? Well, you were really young, so I don't know if they did this.
I've had moments of no acting.
There used to be like you would write special skills and you would put things rollerblading.
Fencing.
Yeah.
Conversation
writing.
Conversational Spanish. But apparently now you can write sleeping.
Yes.
But you know what I would do? You can have a whole, like, when you send in pictures of your feet.
There's wiki feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got really good feet.
But
it's my most enhanced. And it's the most, the best part of my body that I like.
Let me see your feet.
No, because now they're probably like, all mangled in
Let
these
me see.
Shoes. And they're not terrible, but they're
Let
cute.
Let me see.
I'm just going to do a little, I'm doing a little kick.
Swimmer kick.
Anyway, so
I've always
been told, like, oh, show me your, like, I'll post something about, you know, the meaning of life and how to be a better parent. And someone will be like, show me your feet. Because apparently I have cute feet. So I thought, well, I could be making some good cash on
you
that.
You can. Yeah. You should go on pull up WikiFeet. Let's see what her score is.
Okay.
I think it's high.
Do you have a score on WikiFeet?
Everyone does.
What?
Yes.
Even like everybody?
Well, I don't know, Roxy. I'll make one for you.
I don't know, Roxy. I don't
you
remember
do?
What it is.
Well, if you posted pictures of your feet.
Okay, let me
I
see.
Wonder if
let
mine went up when I had my bunion surgery. Did I, like, elevate?
Oh, maybe, because that's, like, an improvement.
It really is. I have before and afters.
But you know what? People might like, this is what people are so sick, people might like the bunions on them.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, the other one's still not great.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Roxy. You can have, like, you know, pictures of your feet, like, holding a glass of wine.
Like, yes. In between the toes, like the stem of the wine glass?
Yeah, and like a little hat on.
Oh, okay. Like, well, you're dressing it up a little outfit. Bit.
You have to accessorize?
You can, well, you get more money for that, Heather.
Really?
I've really looked into it.
I think you should do it. By the way, your face isn't it, who would know?
Yeah. I know, that's what I said. That's I was it. Like, my feet, unless someone's like, oh, is that the girl from Pretty Little Liars? You never
know. Are those the feet from Pretty Little Liars?
Yeah. You're like, I've looked into this and, you know, because from 15, I've had like pictures of like my feet in the air, you know, like I remember doing a OK shoot. Do you know, have OK Magazine?
Yes,
here?
Yes. OK Magazine. Yeah,
yeah, and they came to the house and I have this picture of like in a jumpsuit and I'm like 12, like I'm like 19, but like my feet are in the air. So like my feet have been pretty famous for a long time.
You could actually tease people with it. This just came to me. You could just put your Jenna sunglasses from Pretty Little Liars next
on
to your feet,
my feet
in the picture.
Oh,
because that's
Easter
the
egg.
Yeah,
can
Easter
you be
egg.
My pimp? Exactly. Guys, you can be my manager. You can be the manager. She can be the pimp.
We could be the set designer.
10%.
Right,
10%.
Exactly. Come on, we need more than that.
10%.
Oh my God, it's a lot of money for doing what? Pimping my feet out?
Have you gone on a picket line?
What?
For SAG-AFTRA?
Well, yes and no. I haven't been in the country.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
That's been problematic. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, my husband's a, you know, director, and obviously I'm an actor. And yeah, it's just, it's really sad for the livelihoods of people who aren't making any, because it does trickle down effect. It's not just, you know, people think, well, actors, like, you should be able to, you know, like, you get paid so much money, but only like 10% of actors even
it's
get
one.
Paid. Is it 1%?
So it's 1%. I believe the number is 1% of all actors earn a living acting, and 1% of the 1% are like the Tom Cruises.
Right.
So think about that. But you know, it's like I remember, you know, 20 years ago, you would do a commercial. I didn't do commercials, but I had a couple of friends that were, because there was a whole category that were commercial actresses. Mm-hmm. Like literally that's what they did. They did commercials.
And they made a living off of it,
oh,
right?
Yeah. One national commercial that you could have done for years.
Yeah.
It was so
the
much
day,
money.
Wasn't right. $10 for a coffee.
Yeah,
social
now it's
media.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's nothing. And it's also, you know, the people who do the hair and the grips and the
well, that's
and,
the whole thing.
Right.
It's like it
and
affects
the trailers,
the entire
and the
economy,
the,
everyone.
But it's interesting, though, too, because I didn't realize, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about reality stars, and it's a different deal. It's not,
you
it's
guys
not
are allowed to work.
The same, yeah.
Well, certain things are allowed to work. So first of all, so SAG-AFTRA has intermediate contracts with some productions, and, you know, people were saying that wasn't right, but to your point, it keeps the grips working and the and like the crew and makeup and
catering,
like,
everything.
Catering everything. So I think that's good. I don't know what constitutes, you know, being able to have an interim contract, but there's that. Reality doesn't fall because there's, I don't know why, because they don't want reality people
or soap
in
stars.
SAG-AFTRA.
Because last time,
soap stars too.
Last
you're
time
right.
there was a strike, I was on Young and the Restless.
Because that's
worked.
AGVA.
Right.
That's the American Guild of Variety Artists. Okay. But also, so reality and talk shows, certain talk shows like Kelly and Mark are still on. Andy Cohen's still on. Like, there's certain categories. And honestly, like, I mean, something has to stay on.
Know.
People need to work.
Right. And I don't know if it's going to be solved anytime soon because I heard in the Los Angeles Times, I think it was, that they said that it is worth them, the studios holding out until people can literally not afford to live in LA anymore. Right. So they're going to have to take the terms. I think one of the biggest issues is AI, which is like, you know, because at some point, so many jobs are going to be obsolete. There's not going to be, you're not going to need a script writer because they're just going to be able to AI generate an entire script. You're going to be able to have an entire story that's written that's going to be great. And they're just going to use elements from, you know, award-winning screenplays and be able to inject that into another award-winning screenplay that's not written by a human. So I think this fight for the writers and the actors is so important. They said that, like, even the background actors, you can pay someone for a day and they'll be able to use that image for like 7 years, and it means that like all those people, there's going to be none of those jobs left.
With AI, like, you could say, hey, write me a song and have someone sing it in Demi Lovato's voice. And like all of a sudden there's all this new music. So now you don't need these artists anymore. But our contracts as actors, if you see what they say. So I did, I shouldn't say what it is. A while say ago. It. I, it was,
you have to say it, girl. I talked about my Wiki Feet, yeah. feet okay. profile.
So I did, it's like a nothing thing. They are doing a documentary for Build-A-Bear.
Mm. Okay.
So you know Build-A-Bear, you take your kids there, you spend way too much money. Mm-hmm. They have an, it's like the most genius thing ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, who thought of that?
I mean, they're billionaires now.
Let's not give them a teddy bear. let's deconstruct it.
Teddy bear. Yeah.
And let's have them do the labor.
Right.
Isn't that fun? I mean, it's genius. It's you know what? It is so fun for the kids, and it's a great activity, and it's really sweet. Anyway, so they were doing a documentary. They asked me to be a part of it. Mm. So I went and I did it. This is like a year ago, whatever, and I never signed the release. So they sent it to me recently, and I looked at the release, and I go, no way, man. I'm not signing that. Mm. It was basically saying they could take any piece of me and this quote performance and change it, alter it, use it however they want, use it in other productions, like
use it for an ad,
all of those
forever
in, but listen, I could say like something into the camera, they can take it and make me a character in a movie in a whole different thing and never pay,
right?
So I looked at it, I go, listen, I was really happy to be a part of this, but I can't sign that.
What'd they say?
And they were so amazing. They wrote back and they're like, look, you know, we're okay with the SAG strike. Mm-hmm. Here's our intermediary contract. I mean, I did it a year ago, so it's not a problem. Sign this, but we will redline it for you.
Okay.
And so they redline the whole, there's other actors in there. Mm-hmm. They gave me names of people that I would feel comfortable that they signed it. I don't really care that they signed it, but they redlined it for me and I read it and it was a really basic release. You can use me in this thing, not for advertising, not whatever. And I went, okay, great. And I signed that. But that's scary because I wouldn't have thought of that.
And a lot of people don't read the contracts. Like, you know,
they just sign.
I had a business manager. I think you told me never to have a business manager.
I've gotten rid of every 5%er.
Yeah. I got rid of my business manager and I realized, oh my God.
It adds up.
But it's not even the money part. From
it is the money
part. It is the money part. But if you are spending more time doing something where you could be making more money doing something else, then I actually agree with certain help. Like my dad always said, like if someone can mow your lawn because you're using that extra hour to make more money, then pay someone to mow the lawn. So when I was younger, a child actor, I didn't know how to do this stuff. So I hired a business manager. I actually had a business manager from the ages of 15 till about 35. And I didn't really know even how to pay a bill. And I know people go, wah, but it was just my line of work. And it was something that I needed to be able to function on my job and then make sure that my credit score was great and all those types of things.
And no one taught you, by the way. And that's a fundamental problem, I think, especially with girls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we don't learn financial literacy at schools. And I didn't even know about investing. I didn't know about the stock market. I would be living in an incredible, beautiful, my house is nice, but it would be like way nicer if I knew how to invest my money, if I knew how to do that.
Yeah.
And so I got rid of my business manager because I don't even know why the beginning of this talk was. But yeah, I think it was you that told me to get rid of a business manager because it's, you just.
So she goes into financial ruin. Apparently it's going to be my fault.
It's going to come back to you, Heather.
I mean, like, I got no money. But LA, I don't know. Do you find that things are getting more expensive? Or have I just gotten older that I'm noticing more that the prices and inflation? Like, two coffees for $20.
Yeah, it's so much money.
It's so much more money.
You get two coffees and it says 20. You don't even get an option anymore. It's like 25% tip or 30% tip. So on two coffees, you're paying like $5 extra to the $20 you're already paying. And like for people like us, maybe that's okay, but there's a lot of people who work so hard and they cannot be tipping on everything.
Well, and that's the thing too, when you go up to pay and they flip the screen and it says, you know, 15, 20, 25, you feel bad if you don't give, even if it's like a coffee or an ice cream or whatever.
How about the new guilt grab? Do you want to round this up?
Oh, yes, for the charity.
For the charity.
Right.
Or do you want to add a dollar? And all of a sudden you're like, crap. I'm a horrible human.
I spent $500 on groceries.
Like right there, yeah.
And you're like, I guess, I believe in animal welfare. Yeah. Like, I mean, what are you supposed to say?
It's true. And then the person behind you is like, God, that person's an asshole.
Right.
You know, put some money in.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is. It's like really tricky now. But I feel like LA has gotten so much more expensive. Like, post-pandemic, going out to dinner used to be like you go to dinner, maybe have a little wine, you know, have
a
like
little wine, Roxy. Okay. She's like, why is this wine bill so high?
I'm margarita like, who drank the
9 bottles?
I always say it's a good dinner if you drink more than you eat in the price.
Okay.
I don't like to go to dinner with her because I'm like, I'm not fucking splitting the bill. I have like half a margarita and I call it a night, and then it's like $300 later for my half margarita and some tuna tartare, and I'm like, I'm out.
Wait, were you not drinking last time I saw you?
Yeah, I just, I had a margarita in Bali.
You did?
I did. I had half. Because I was like,
Were you wasted on half a margarita?
Like on the tables with my titties out.
And you're freshly waxed back.
Someone needs to see it.
It's true.
And all the Balinese people are like, oh my gosh, this is why we don't want foreigners in our country. And I had a glass of wine on my birthday. My big birthday.
Okay.
It was fine.
Did you turn 40?
Yes, maybe.
Can I just tell you something?
It was a hard birthday. A lot of people say 40's really hard.
Oh, fuck that. Listen. Yeah. It's only as hard as whatever's going on in your life. You know, and if you things are good.
My vagina's sagging.
Your vagina is obviously
good. It's not
sagging.
It's fine. It's fine. Listen, cut the babies out.
I'm going to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
That decade is fantastic.
Is it better than your 30s?
Yes. I'll tell you why. Mm. Because in your 40s, no one fucks with you. You know what I'm saying? You're a full adult, but you're still young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your kids are like at a good age.
Yes.
Right.
And so, I mean, I still had a baby at 42.
Yeah. Oh, you had the last baby at 42?
Yes. Because we were thinking of having another one. And I was like, do I want to risk having a good life?
It's exhausting. I got to tell you, that dangler is exhausting.
Yeah. My husband had our first kid at 40. And I was 29.
Yeah.
So I'm like past that stage, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like, whatever. If it happens, it'll be great. Yeah. If you don't do it, you're great. It all mm-hmm. works out.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't stress over it. But I'm telling you, the 40s mm-hmm. is a very good decade. It's fun.
It's fun because you know yourself so much more than you ever did. Yeah. I saw a meme that said, your 40s are the decade where you feel like you look the best, but you've got the most knowledge throughout your life. It's like
it's a good
perfect microcosm of everything, right?
Yeah, 50s, you start to go to shit.
Really?
No, you don't, girl. What?
I mean, no, I'm sort of joking. Because I always think when I turned, so I'm 54.
Okay. Yeah.
When I turned 50, I was like, this is like halftime show. We're going to gather the team in the locker room. We're going to talk about what happened in the first half. We're going to go out and charge
into the second
half.
Make it better for the second.
But it's true. But if you think about it, I mean, do you really remember your first 25 years? Like,
images, whatever,
you know.
Totally.
But like, but in my mind, 25 to 50, I remember a lot more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and especially like 35 to 50 are very clear.
Yes.
So,
or not clear in Roxy's case.
Maybe not.
To put 12 bottles of wine on the world, 12 bottles of
not
wine.
Not every night. But you know what I mean?
Most are clear.
But it's true. But you feel like at 50, you feel like I have nothing to lose. Like, this is it. This is the second half.
And there's not as much time. So you're out of your comfort zone, I feel like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. And I think, like, also time becomes so much more valuable, right? It's like you cherish those moments now, especially with kids.
And who you spend the time on.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
And the friendships in your life. Yes. I've lost two really good friends recently, and one was my choice, one wasn't. Mm. Not that it wasn't.
Oh, you're
my
not
choice.
Saying they died. You're saying
no, no, no. Yeah.
Okay,
they're in the coffin. No, One I just saw.
That's good.
I just saw who she was,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for drama. I already have drama with two young kids, and it's their drama. I don't have time for bullshit. Like, I just, I'm too old for that. And the other one. Do you ever have people in your life when you start to get successful that they feel bad about themselves?
Oh, yes.
Or it's like, it's not even that they want you to fail, because mm-hmm. I don't think she wants me to fail. But I think that if I start to gain success, even with anything with the podcast or social media or films mm-hmm. or whatever it is, or my husband, you know, direct his new film's coming up, it's like she hates herself. And
you can't be friends with people.
And I do believe in life that if you play with people who play worse tennis than you, you're going to be a worse tennis player.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as I get older, I realize that I need people in my life who make me better, but also elevate me. Roxy's a big, she loves the energy and the vibe. And I actually so agree with you that if you're mm-hmm. not around people that make you feel good when you leave, then it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you, again, you play tennis with people who are better than you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because then you rise to that occasion and she's mm-hmm. great, but I feel so good. uninspired and just physically gross.
Exhausted
when I leave her. And so she's just, I'm turning 40, and it was just a whole thing. I've just let it go.
Yeah. It's tough. And, you know, I hung on to people like that for a long time, past when I should have, because, like, you know, friends have always been like family to me. Right. I don't have a big family.
Okay.
And some of them are weird and whatever. And so the friend connection has always been very important to me. So I hung on to those kind of people way longer than I should have. In my 40s, things changed. But when I turned 50, I'm really done. And I have to say, I haven't told anyone this, and you don't know her, but like one of my who I thought was a ride or die, I had to, first I started by muting her on social.
Right.
Okay.
Because you don't unfollow,
because
making a statement.
Right.
And there's so many times I tried to have like a real conversation, and then I found out things have happened that I won't get into because it's too long a story. You won't know the details, but things started to happen, and I started to see things. But then it got to a point where I heard something that she said about one of my kids, and I realized that this person is very, conservative. Let's just say,
okay,
in a not great way.
Oh, I can't. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And I heard some things recently, and I just, like, I wanted to say something so badly. And Terry was like, it's not worth it. And so I went, you're right. I'm just going to do what I do. I'm going to elegantly just sort of extract myself and just not be available and, you know,
it's
start backing up.
Yeah.
So hurtful. And, like, I have the conversations in my head sometimes. Right. But you know what? It's not worth it.
And you can't sometimes change, and we were going to talk about this on the show today, like, can you be friends with people who have such opposing political or views?
Yeah,
and I said to my husband,
yeah, what do you think about that?
I said to him, you can be friends with someone who roots for a different soccer team than you, but if the fundamental rights of human beings and are going to be affected by your belief system, then there's like a deep deficit within that person, and that deficit radiates beyond just their political views. And I think that there's certain things that have happened recently in politics, especially in America, that if you vote for someone that you don't really know the outcome, I give you a pass. If you keep voting for that person when you can tell that they are hurting
people
and in so many different ways, then you are part of that problem.
Well, it's a problem too once they cross the line and try to impose it upon other people as well, you know? And they put
like the Moonies.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know what the Moonies are? That was like, you know, a cult. That was when I was young, they would say the Moonies are going to try to get you in the cult. But like, yeah, you're allowed to have your beliefs.
Right.
But when you try to impose them on others, that's a problem. But I agree with what you're saying, Tamin. The problem is this. Have you ever gone out to dinner with a few couples and someone says something that's like—
I live in Tennessee.
Slightly.
I'm like, I've got three friends in Tennessee. No.
Yeah, and they say something slightly off and you're like—
That's a racist statement.
I'll use the Jewish thing since I'm Jewish.
Right.
So like, we have been at a dinner with people who will say something about like their accountant, but mention that they're Jewish. Like, you know, I had to hire my Jewish accountant. Like, just something slightly like that, and like you let it go. But then something else is said, and then you know, this is a couple that you know we see from time to time. And finally, Terry said something. And I appreciated it because, like, he didn't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
And I go, but then what do you do in the long term? Because now they're not going to say it in front of you.
Right.
But you know that's what they think.
Who they are and who they are as people.
But I mean, most people suck. And that's why your circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller as you get older.
And also, and we've talked about this too recently with a group of us. Like, we're talking about time. I don't have the time. I don't have that much time to try to change your belief system. Like, you know what I mean?
And a lot of the times
people are so, they're so set in their ways. They're so fossilized in so many ways that they're not going to change. So do you accept them and accept them for who they are? I can accept so much about someone. But again, if your beliefs hurt other people, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Like, yeah. I'm out. I just don't even want to be around you.
Yeah, well, it's, and you can't really separate it if it's, like, to that extreme either. You know, it's hard to, like, compartmentalize that and say,
yeah,
that person's a good person, but they think, you know, somebody here shouldn't have rights or somebody, you know, something like that. It's really hard to, like, mm-hmm. extract that part of it out, you know? And it's like, that's who they are, right? It's like their fundamental right. system. And you know, we've all heard it. People don't change. They just don't. They might.
They change if they want to.
Well, they might
right.
a little bit here and there, but they're not going to, like, 100%, you know, 180, like, fundamentally mm-hmm. change who they are. Like,
no.
Especially if it's a long-held belief, you know, going in, yeah. you know?
Now, I do understand. Like, all right, so I was given this ally award from the Human Rights Campaign last weekend. And so I was at...
Good, Heather.
Thank you. I was very honored. So I was at this event and, you know, people spoke and it was like crazy to hear the stories and share mine and talk about it. But one of the things that I was telling people is our kids are great.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that we live in a coastal community, which right. makes a difference than living... You know,
in the middle of the country.
In the middle of the country. Right. But having said that, I see my children and I see their friends. Mm-hmm. And one of my kids goes to school in Boston. You know, I see it and they're so much better. They're so much more accepting and loving and fluid and interesting and all that. It's our generation and the one before us that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is that that's who is in making the legislature.
Right.
So that's the real problem. We got to fix all that.
Right.
Right.
So you have queer children, and I think that people don't know what it's like to walk in a parent's shoes, too.
Right.
And there's so many people who say, well, I wouldn't do that based in what they are experiencing at their time. But when you are a mom and you have queer children, you see it very differently as well.
Yes.
And you go, wait a second, this isn't right because it affects your kids directly. Mm-hmm. And I said to my husband too, like, you know, we know about handicap rights, but we don't really, right? And
right.
so, like, if we had a child that was handicapped, we would be really fighting for the fact that there needs to be a ramp every,
right.
you know?
Right. Exactly.
We need accessibility to restaurants.
Yep.
And so I think people don't know, they don't fight for things unless,
it's,
I mean, that's not true.
Personally.
But they don't
it's
fight for it as
right.
intensely and right. feverishly and let until it affects them.
Right. 100%. It's like that same is true of diseases.
Right.
You know, all those things. Where do you start giving your charitable donations?
Human nature. That's human nature.
You know,
nature.
Cancer affects
the lens
you.
Right. in
you
which
start,
we see
right.
the world.
Right. But with kids, you know, when you have a child that deviates from what society considers the norm, whatever that is.
Right.
Then, you know, it's tougher.
Mm-hmm.
It's tougher for them. It's tougher for parents.
Right.
And you have to advocate more. But that's why I truly feel like anyone with a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, you have kids. Number one most important thing, and I do this with my kids. Obviously, you have to protect your kids.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest kid is 12. I don't tell his story for him. That's for him to decide someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two of my other kids have, you know, come out with their stories. Great. That's their choice. So we could talk about that. But the point is, I had a point. The point is...
It's early. You've been flying from Bali,
right.
Indonesia, too.
I feel like I have been flying. My last 2 weeks
It's 3 a.m. in the morning for you. Jet lag.
Insane. But anyway, the point is that you need to advocate for... Protect your children, number one. But number two, if you have a voice and a platform, you've got to use it.
Right.
Or else, what are we doing? I mean, one of the reasons I went... So, you know, I was on Housewives for 5 seasons, and I left. And I left for 4 seasons, but with the pandemic, it was 5 years. So it was 10 years since I had started. So I went back, and now last season and this season. But when I went back last season, when they called, they were like, you know, do you want to come back? I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it, and I did. We talked about it as a family, and I'm like, hey, what do you think about using this huge platform to start conversations in other people's families? And we've done that. I mean, if you – like what happened with Terry a couple weeks ago? He had a TIA, like that whole thing. I get messages from people, one in particular that was chilling, from this woman who saved her husband's life because she had just seen what I posted. And that's how she recognized that he was having a stroke.
Wow.
Got him to the hospital, had an MRI, got the clot busting thing, whatever. It was different than what Terry had, but saved his life. I mean, like, this is what you do with your platform. Yes, post beautiful pictures of our feet and in Bali.
Dreamy vaginas in the bathtub. Did you see that one?
I did. I saw it all.
And it only took 39 photos to get that one, but it was good.
But the truth is, everyone wants to see that stuff too.
I don't even like posting that stuff. I do it because you feel the need to.
It's part of the deal.
That's okay.
I want to see your. By the way. It was a gorgeous photo. I want to see you in the tub in Bali.
But it was more about the story about manifesting, which I really believe in. And about, like, you know, you can create your life if you so choose to. But, you know, I put on my story about my kid who had – she got Bali belly when we got to the airport, which is like a gastro has gastro symptoms from bacteria in Bali. And I really put that up there because I wanted to talk about the healthcare system in the U.S. And that story was viewed 300,000 times, which is like very high for my stories. And I had so many responses from people all over the world explaining, you know, their healthcare system. But also, you know, I had a woman who has had a breast lump and she hasn't had it seen for 2 years because it's too expensive to go to her doctor. Oh, I've had someone who had an MRI on her knee and she's still paying for that MRI like 8 years later. Oh, I mean, there are so many. I lost a friend of a friend who didn't go to, and my husband's one of his really close friends, two people that had pneumonia, didn't go to the hospital because it was too expensive, both passed away. 30 million Americans don't have health insurance. That's the whole population of Australia. Mm. 45,000 die a year because they don't go and see doctors.
It's crazy.
And it's a basic human right. And I didn't realize what you were talking to your point, that, you know, our platform, it's so important to be sharing this information because a lot of the time, like, you know, the government isn't sharing this and we are in the dark in so many ways and we don't really know what's going on in intimate. I think when people hear about intimate stories, that really makes a difference.
So there's this thing called Chamber of Mothers. I'd love to get you involved in them. Yeah. Mm. So they, I can't remember how I got connected with them, but they are doing incredible things because people ignore the mom vote. But I will tell you, the people on the other side of where we sit have a lot of money. They are being funded by some nasty-ass people that want to take our kids down, take women's rights away, all that stuff. Our side, which I'm going to call the good side, that wants women's rights and wants our kids to be who they authentically are and that love is love and everything that I believe in, they are grassroots doing such incredible thing. It's called Chamber of Mothers.
Wow, okay.
And I'm going to connect you guys with them.
Please.
Show them on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely on the show. But also, you guys could get involved. They are really doing incredible things. And it's like our vote is actually the biggest vote in the country. Mm. But they keep us down. And why aren't we all – and that's what Chamber of Mothers is doing. They're going – why aren't we all getting together and swinging the vote? We're like the best law, you know, who could do it better than moms?
Right.
Yeah.
No, and if you put a mom on a task, that is a serious, like, your task will get done. We know how to, you know, take care of things. We know how to multitask. We know time is valuable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a powerful vote, and they just push us by because it's the patriarchal.
But we're letting them push us by. Yeah, that's why I think
this
group.
When you feel like you have no voice,
Yeah.
When you've been beaten down
a lot. Gun reform, like in Tennessee, you know, again, I want to say on this podcast, no one's taking away anyone's guns. We're just trying to make it safer. For example, in Japan, you can still get a gun, but there's no gun deaths because they're very specific. Their laws are very – in New Zealand, they're very strong gun laws, and people can still buy a gun. But it's like, you know, it's important how you store the gun. It's important that you don't have something called a bump stock, which turns like a weapon into an automatic rifle. Like, no one should have access to that. And so, you know, I was like, oh, gosh, like, I'm going to go to all those rallies in Tennessee. I was really nervous too, and I had all these people saying, like, why are you living in Tennessee? And I said, well, firstly, because we can live a nicer life than in Los Angeles, just with
they've
space
taxes
and it's beautiful.
Tennessee?
No.
Yeah, awesome.
I was like, so much more money in the bag for my skincare.
Is there a house next door?
Like, you know, I was just so sick of the traffic. There's so many things. But I was like, because you make change in places where you are the minority, you know, and you have to be a voice. And because if I wasn't there and so many of my friends weren't there, then who's going to go? Who's going to fight for change? You know, it's very easy to be in California. I'm not saying you guys.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying it's easy because it's like rights. And there are obviously.
It's a different.
Right. But it's like most people, not all people, but most people believe in the same sort of things. Again, there are pockets.
It's a more liberal place to live. But that's certainly true, which is, I mean, one of the reasons we live here.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Of course.
Because I thought that too. I was like, should I just move back? It's so much easier. Should I just move back? But then I thought, I'm at least boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're saving a lot of fucking money.
And I get, as again, I get all my skincare is because I don't have to pay. The fact that I don't, you don't pay state tax, do you know how much money you save? I didn't even realize it until 13%? I was like,
oh yeah.
I was like, wow.
Is what I'm gonna say.
There's just extra. It's just extra.
Yeah, everything is like less expensive. I mean, from gas to like groceries, every bit adds up. Mm. You know, so you really can live a better life there. And they need a voice like you there, Tamin.
Loud and proud.
Well, money-wise, I'll give you my best kid tip. Okay. You got to get a 529 plan for your kids.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which is they get the...
It's like Scholar Share 529 plan. Okay. So this is a California thing, though. But I'm sure there must be one state to state.
Here. Yeah. Do you put money in like yearly or how does
so
it work?
All right. So this is what happened. So when my kids were babies, so if anyone out there like has little kids, especially, but it's not too late.
Okay.
Just do it. So you put the money in and it grows. And when they take it out, the gain is tax-free. Okay. And they can use it for anything educational. Anything, which means tuition, room and board, the books, airplane ticket, books. Oh. They're going junior year abroad. They want to, and if there's money left over, it will revert back to you for educational things. Like you're going to take a photography class in Bali in a bathtub.
Education.
I hope my kids.
It's educational.
Have to do that.
But honestly, I mean, Terry and I are very lucky. We've done well with our real estate and our investments. And, you know, we've done well over the years. But I swear to you, the best thing we ever did was that 529 plan. Mm. Because their college is completely paid for. So it's what amazing. We did was when they were little, we'd put, you know, we didn't have as much back then. But put a little in every month. And then one day, like, we looked at each other, we were like, let's calculate how much college is going to cost. So we dumped a little more. You can do things where grandparents for holidays can add money in there, or, you know, you could do all kinds of things. And then at a certain point, we stopped putting money in because we realized it was going to be fine.
See, and I think that that is so smart of you, Heather, because I think a lot of people have the misconception that if you are of a certain income, you know, level and you're successful, that you don't pay attention to these things.
You
know, that you're not.
Do you see what Beyonce did?
Yes. Did you see? She puts all the her kids on, employment.
Here's the thing.
I did that for tax. Yeah. So you get like it's tax called, rebate, $12,000 a year each.
But this is what you have to do. You have to get them a custodial IRA.
Have that.
You get them each. You put them to work. They get any kind of job.
You don't even have to, really. It's
you
kind
do.
Of like
a, you they do, have to have an income.
Right, but don't they have to, like, you know, my four-year-old can just get papers from from daddy's office and hand them to us.
Yes. Like, I think Jay-Z had the baby
the
cry on the record.
Yeah.
And so they paid the baby for, you know, singing on the record.
Right.
And so you get a custodial Roth IRA, and it doesn't mature. They can't get it till they're 59. Mm. But can you imagine someone handing you millions of dollars at that? Like, hello.
We do stock
you hate getting old,
for them.
But here's some money.
Yeah.
No, it's so smart. And it's like, you know, no matter what stratosphere income-wise people are in, you should be smart about your money. Even if you're somebody who literally has nothing but could spare even $5, $10 a month.
Yes.
You know, whatever.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
We had someone on our show that said that most millionaires didn't make over $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Of her client, like in the beginning stages.
Yes, in the beginning stages.
Because they lived off, I mean, I don't know if you can do that in LA, but they lived off like, just say, $50,000 a year. They were probably like single and they invested the other 50.
And
that grows over time.
Well,
Again, I didn't really know about financial literacy probably until like 5 years ago, which is really sad. And
it's not. You said it before. They do not teach
it
in school.
I didn't know
about
credit scores. I didn't know about interest rate. I mean, I got myself in terror. I had hundreds of thousands of dollars that I had to pay off that I didn't even know because I didn't even know how to handle
great business
money.
Manager.
Like, I didn't even
way.
Know. I was like, wait, you left and there's this? But now we know, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I probably told you guys about this. I've been vocal about this, but like – I thought I knew about money. Like, I had a good credit score. I had stock account, you know, the whole thing. And I had a business manager years ago and then got rid of that. Mm. But when I got married, and this is the wifey thing, I thought he could handle his part. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. Did you have separate accounts at that time, or was
when
it
we
all
got
joined?
Married? We did, and then they started commingling.
The
so
we
now
have,
it's all the same.
We have separate personal accounts, but we have a shared because we operate under the same LLC.
Yeah.
We have a shared business LLC account, but we have separate personal accounts.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I've never done that.
Yeah, and then for our stocks, we have a shared.
My husband lets me buy
stocks,
whatever because I make. You know, when he makes his money.
Okay. Did you hear that statement? All right, so
but it's weird because I've made my home. So I was the breadwinner for, you know, now we 50-50, right? Because he's directing and I've got my stuff, so we do 50-50. But he's the type of person, and we had a business expert come on the show, and she was like, you never share money with your husband. And I was like, well, then he would have to be a fundamentally different person because when my husband makes money – he doesn't spend any – he's just not a – he wears the same black – you know, he thinks he's Einstein. He was the same black
Terry
T-shirt,
too.
Like, every single day with a hat.
Totally.
Like, it doesn't matter if he's got $10 billion or, like, $2.
He could have a hole in his underwear. And I'd be like,
you're
sure
to
buy
his new
underwear? He's like, it's fine.
Yeah. I said, like,
they're
shoes.
Like, it's more comfortable.
I was like, wear different shoes. He's like, pocket. I really don't care. But he just gives – like, he would just give me everything. And I remember her saying, like, well, wait until – you know, if you get divorced, it gets nasty. If we got divorced, my husband would be like, I don't want to deal with you. Just take everything. I'm leaving and living in a car. But I know people would probably think I'm naive with that.
But you
just, he would fundamentally have to be. I've been with him for 16 years. He just is not. He would just have to have a mental break to be that type of person.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this because I know this is a big thing that has also come up. And it doesn't even matter what your income level is. But people advise now that you should always have a prenup. No matter what.
So we didn't have a prenup.
Did you guys have prenups?
No.
I didn't either.
No.
No.
It was too expensive at the time, I remember thinking. Mm. It was like, because we've been together for
we
like
both
20
had
years.
I think we both had like significant careers and made significant money when we married.
Right.
So it wasn't really an issue. And you leave with what you came in with. Mm-hmm. I probably could have screwed him over on his medical practice, I suppose. But I mean, like 30 years later, like whatever, I think we're good. But I was going to say, like, back to what I was going to say was, you know, with Terry, I thought he was handling all of it. What I didn't understand is doctors are notoriously not
worst
good
businessman.
With money.
My dad's a doctor. Yeah. Same thing.
It's really bad.
Terrible.
Artist too.
Terrible.
Yeah, what he's great with is he's brilliant. Like, he's the smartest person I've ever met. And he's brilliant at investing stocks. Like, he understands all of that. But the day-to-day of things, that's not his thing. And he ended up making an investment with this guy and didn't tell me, whatever, and lost $2 million. And I did, and people were at the time were like, did you get Matt? It was a total scam.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But his accountant at the time, you know, they PG'd it, but there was no collateral. It was such a disaster. And everyone was like, did you get mad? And I said, no, because this was a fundamental breakdown of our partnership that the system of checks and balances failed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was a lesson, a very expensive lesson to learn. But I do believe that had that not happened, the way we regrouped from that and how we moved forward financially and reallocating who was in charge of what and the bigger role that I took in certain things completely changed our financials 1,000%.
They say women are better investors and better with money anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
I enjoy it.
It turns me on. I don't even like spending money really because I just don't spend that much.
But I do.
Yeah. But sometimes I read this thing about like luxury goods being such a scam. Like, you know, Chanel. And
don't
all
tell
that
Terry
stuff.
That.
I know. But like, I just feel like I'm being scammed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I could get exactly the same thing for a tenth of the price. Like, I feel the leather in Chanel and I've got Chanel bags. They're lovely. But I have other bags that feel the same, that they're the same leather.
That's why I always have this
is a scam.
Well, I have a price in my head for what I think something should cost.
I'm
and if it costs more,
backpack.
I don't buy it. But I will tell you this, like your ring is it's a design.
Yeah.
So that you could only get at Cartier, which is why I like it. I wouldn't buy like a plain diamond band, right?
Because
you could get in the diamond district for a fraction of the cost. That I agree is a scam. You're paying for the name, but once you, it's like a Tiffany diamond. Once you pull it out of the blue box, no one knows.
No one knows.
Yeah,
no
it's
knows
a Tiffany diamond.
It's like, why?
No, but you know what? So
and I got
why?
A Chanel watch for my 30th, and I I wanted it to be blinged out. So it's like, it's that white watch and the whole of it is diamonds in the middle.
Yeah.
And I never wear it because it looks so blingy that it almost doesn't look like it's, it looks like I'm wearing one of those.
Oh, you gotta wear it.
Rings, because I also like have like, I'm a bit of a both. Like I'll have thrift shoes on and then I'll have this blingy watch.
And then I'm just like, oh my goodness,
people are just gonna be
Zara
like,
Zara dress yes. with a Chanel belt.
Zara is amazing.
I just ordered, by the way, they make Obsessed. The best tank tops ever.
100%.
The bodysuit tank tops, amazing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. I do like, it's nice too to hang on to some of these things too, because yes, they become vintage, but it's nice to also revisit your closet.
Oh yeah.
And rediscover things and kind of pull them out. Like I pulled out my bag today. I was like, I haven't worn this in a long time.
You've made me want to wear jewelry.
See, I love jewelry. I'm like a jewelry junkie. Like I
like jewelry, too.
Me too. Yeah. I love it.
But just like makeup, I'm all or not. Like I have literally
I just sleep in it or I'll never put it on.
Totally. So, I can't, because I can't work out in it. I cannot.
Me either. I can't have
like,
a look.
Like if a piece of hair comes down and touches my face, I'm like, wow.
I'm out. I have to leave Pilates.
I must go.
I have to say, I'm a little weary though, and this is probably an LA thing. Like I get a little scared to sometimes take nicer things out because of all the shit that's going on here.
I know. It doesn't feel that safe.
You have to be careful.
I mean,
where
I was
are.
In Bali. I felt so safe. Australia is so safe. I never thought about a gun I never thought about someone taking anything.
But you know what? Everything's insured. I'd be like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. Just get the fuck away from me.
The insurance is a little more expensive than it was.
Bye.
But before we go, I do want to talk about Terry's stroke. I only got a tiny touch of it from social, but I don't really know what happened.
So basically, we were sitting at the Ivy. We were having dinner with my oldest son, Nick, and he like started slurring his words, and then he was sort of like babbling. It was crazy.
Like he was saying things that don't make sense. Like
I'm honestly on my podcast, like I told the whole story, but it was like his eyes went like glazed. He was nonsensical.
Right.
And I went, are you okay? Are you okay? And I stood up and I told my son to call 911.
Right.
And basically what happened was I thought he was having a stroke and I was trying to get him to the hospital and he refused to go. Mm. And he still wasn't himself, honestly, but it was like 30. And with a stroke, like you have to get to the hospital very fast.
Quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so time is ticking. And so it was like a 30 to 40 minute argument to try to get him to go. And he wouldn't. And he went in an Uber and left. We were in LA
to go, where?
To go back to Newport.
Oh my God.
And I thought he was going to die in the back of the Uber. And we have a protocol, which, by the way, really good thing to know. Mm-hmm. Always have a protocol with your significant other. Who are you calling? Who's like the smart person? So there's two doctors. One's in Texas and one's in LA. And I've known them for a long time. And I called them and they didn't answer me. And I text them. It's an emergency. And I'm like, this is what's going on. You have to call him. You have to make him go to the thing. And he wants... Oh, he'll get checked out tomorrow. I go, no. Now. Mm-hmm. So this went on for like an hour.
I would have been so angry.
Oh my God.
I wasn't.
I fear.
Doctors are the worst too. They never want to go.
But
they
it
never
wasn't
go.
Him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, for some reason in the back of my mind, I remembered that people that have events like this are belligerent.
So I knew. They're saying it wasn't his personality to say no.
It was, and he was like walking in the middle of the street. Like he had, like it was not him.
Oh.
Anyway, the actual event maybe lasted a minute total.
Right.
But then this other stuff, like where he wasn't really himself, was like 30 to 40 minutes. Mm. So he's in the car. I'm in an Uber, like chasing him.
Oh my gosh.
Have him on Life 360.
Oh my God.
Thank God. The app that you track. You have to get that for your kids. You know that?
No.
Oh no. For the kids.
What is
that?
Our whole family is on Life 360.
Okay.
You can see exactly, if they have a phone, you can see exactly where they are. You can see how fast they were driving in the car, everything. And so
my husband would
like
me do that to him. He'd be so mad.
You want to know something?
It's
Terry
a tracker,
didn't want it when we first got it. And he goes, look, I don't need everyone knowing I'm sitting outside of Starbucks in my car for 10 minutes.
Shitting on the toilet for 42 minutes. I'll be like, what are you doing on the toilet? My husband doesn't want it because he'll be like, did you eat that cookie while you were sitting on the toilet?
They wouldn't know that you're on the
watching
toilet.
TikTok.
They would only know that you're in the house.
Oh, gotcha.
So he didn't want it. And I was like, look, I promise you, I don't care where you are, but it would be better for me to know, he's at the gym, so I don't have to call you and bug you, like, what time are right. you coming home for dinner? Mm. I see where you are. I see you've been there for 30 minutes. I know you'll be home in, like, 40. I don't have to bug you. Right. We're good. Or whatever, if something happened, like
right.
now.
Right.
So I'm in my Uber with my son, following his Uber, and, like, Tracy. And the other great thing is that on his phone, uh-huh. he doesn't know that when I text him and he uh-huh. reads it, it says red.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
doesn't know how to turn that
oh,
off.
Oh, good.
So, so I knew he was conscious, mm-hmm. which okay. was really good. Anyway... Yeah. Very long story short, one of the friends ended up talking him into going.
To Cedars over here?
No, he was halfway to Newport.
Oh, my God.
So he went to Hogue, and he's on staff there, so it was actually good because he got right in, had an MRI. So as it turned out, he had a TIA, which is a trans ischemic attack, which is basically like a mini stroke. His clot in his brain was the size of a period at the end of a sentence. That's so tiny. So when you're born, when you're in your mom's tummy.
In utero, yeah.
You're in your in utero. You don't breathe air, obviously. So there's like kind of a like a door between the chambers of your heart that allows the oxygenated fluid to pass through. When you're born, you take your breath, you cry, the door slams shut. Mm-hmm. But in 30% of people, it stays open.
Oh,
and then it could form a hole. So Hailey Bieber, remember she had
that.
She had
my
it.
Dad was actually
Kim Zolciak had it.
Oh, she did.
Yes, and so people
can it happen in your sleep? Where because my dad, they thought something was really wrong, like Alzheimer's, but they found nothing. And I wonder
could have had a stroke.
I wonder if it was something at, like while he was sleeping.
Yes,
they can't find
probably
anything.
Had a stroke.
Yeah,
he didn't have an MRI.
He had an MRI recently, but it's been 3 years later.
Yeah,
maybe,
I don't know if it would show
it
up. Maybe it's gone.
Yeah.
So this was a tiny, tiny, tiny clot that passed through this hole. I mean, after all these years, can you imagine? By the way, it's called a PFO.
Okay.
People can have this. 30% of people have this. And we'll never have a problem. So you don't have to worry, oh, my God, do I have a PFO? Right. Am I going to have a stroke? But what I knew about Terry is he's so healthy.
Right.
He gets his carotids checked. We knew, like, it was none of that. So it's like, how could this have happened? And why couldn't they pick it up? Because there's a very specific test. Mm. It's like an endoscopy. It's called a TE. And they go down through your throat.
Okay.
And they can look and see the hole, or a bubble test where they pass a bubble through the heart to see if it goes through. Mm. So it's a very specific test you wouldn't do unless you had a stroke. But anyway, so thank God it didn't happen in his sleep. Thank God he went to the doctor, to the hospital, and immediately got checked out. They repaired the thing a couple of days later.
Okay.
They take, like, this titanium slinky, and they put it up, like, through the groin, kind of like an angiogram.
Okay.
Get to the heart. They put it through the hole, and bing! It pops up on both sides like an Oreo cookie, slams it shut, and that's it. It took 11 minutes to fix.
Wow.
And he's great. Thank God.
Thank
it was
God.
So fixable. If he had not gone to the hospital, we were supposed to go to New York a few days later.
Oh, he would have gotten on a plane?
He would have died.
Oh, yeah, he would have died. He would have died. For sure.
And so many ifs in this scenario. So I've posted, you know, on my newsletter, everywhere, on my Instagram, the warning signs, you know, of a stroke, be fast. B is for balance. You know, you got to make sure they're balanced. E is for eyes. Make sure eyes are focused. F is for face. Do you have facial drooping? A is for arms. Can you lift your arms over your head? Are your arms weak?
Oh, stuck here. Oh.
Yeah. S is for speech, slurring, or just in unintelligible speech. And T is time. The most important thing is time. So if you're seeing anyone with these kind, get them to the hospital.
Immediately.
Fast. Immediately. Right now. Because it's all about saving lives. And I will tell you, the end of the story is that we were always going to tell what happened to him to help other people. But I really wanted to wait a couple weeks and just let things calm down.
Right.
But some really lovely patrons inside the Ivy took videos and pictures of us fighting outside the Ivy.
No.
And gave them to TMZ.
Oh, God.
So they called Terry and they're like, hey, we have videos and photos of you and your wife fighting outside the Ivy, da da da. And so Terry calls me and I go, who cares? Let them think we're fighting. He goes, you know what? I already told them. I told them the truth.
Right.
As long as they promise to run the story accurately. So he ended up doing this beautiful, you know, interview with them. Mm-hmm. And we, and already I've seen the effect that it's had and mm-hmm. saved lives. And so I'm like so proud of him and all that. Can you mm-hmm. imagine they were filming us?
That's
outside,
exactly how shit gets taken out of context.
Right.
And they make a story out of it.
So then I was in New York doing press without him because even though he was mm-hmm. fixed, he still couldn't fly. Mm-hmm. So
I'm like, she's in New York.
Yeah.
Drinking it in. While her husband's recovering.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I went for 24 hours yeah. and I'm there. And I think I was still in shock, but I, so I go and they're saying to me, so, like paparazzi, they're like, so you and your husband were fighting outside the area. I go, yes, I was telling him to get in the fucking ambulance. Yes, yeah. we were fighting.
Thank you.
Yes.
They always try to make a mountain out of a molehill, though,
yeah,
I feel
whatever.
Like.
I still don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
That's, again, getting older.
Yeah.
Just don't care.
Fuck it.
No, well,
zero
you'll
bucks.
See on our show. And yeah. in, so the show is on. When is this airing?
This is couple airing. Weeks. Yeah.
Okay. So it will have already happened. But
yeah.
They say on the show that I staged paparazzi pictures because online they say he's cheating on me. I'm like, first of all, listen.
You're
to
like,
me.
You got a tracker app. You got a wife. Yeah, you know where he is if he's shitting on the toilet. That guy is not allowed to cheat.
I mean, not only that,
he's so yeah. tracked
let's
up.
Be honest. I don't know about your pen, but I'm telling you, if my
mine
husband wanted to have an affair,
it's too
I would have to book the hotel.
Yes, I know, that's yes, what I yes.
I would have to make sure he has the fan in the room.
Yeah, I know.
Like, the sexy times.
My husband's like, I'm never going to have an affair because you are too much work. Imagine two of you.
It's too
to
much
to deal with. And I would be
it's
like,
so true.
And he would be so sloppy about it too.
Yes.
I'd be like, dude, your girlfriend's calling. Right. Like, it's so obvious.
And they're just tired too. Like, they're at a certain age. And I was like,
it's
they're
tired.
Too tired.
He's not like, going to be screwing someone else. Like, I'm begging for him to screw me.
That stage of life. Like, it's not happening.
Wait, Heather, Amy Schumer's like, Heather, find someone who can stand you.
Are you freaking out though a little bit because the reunion is coming up?
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, that's why I got the Botox and the gold needle. That was my prep.
How are you feeling going into it?
I think I'm
going to
have a very long day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those things are literally fucking all day.
It's all day.
Right?
And they want drama, so it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you've been watching the show, everything seems to be pointed at me. Right. So.
Oh.
So you get to wear the villain crown this time around.
You know what?
You
I
know?
Don't. I'm not. If you really watch the show
right.
and see what's – I mean – they're exonerating me each episode as we mm-hmm. go. I think the thing is, when you like someone, you don't care that they say something sometimes that, mm-hmm. like, sound pretentious or,
yeah.
Like, we're not talking about people who are mean or racist or out
right.
of,
yeah.
you're talking about someone saying something, like, that offends you in some way because you find it pretentious it's, or
right.
you think.
Like a flippant comment. Like, who cares,
or the
right?
way someone points at you or
right.
holds their hand, whatever it is. But when you like someone, you don't care because most of the person you really like,
right?
Right. So they do these things.
You know,
we all have our
compass.
Shit. We
right.
all have our shtick.
Right.
Who cares? If you don't like someone, you lean in.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to have a problem with someone,
yeah.
you lean in. It's like even with your spouse. Like, you know, they pick their teeth and you're annoyed with them. And you're like,
yes.
Jesus fucking Christ, stop picking your teeth. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And like when you're in love with them, you're like,
it's so cute.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all that.
It's funny
yeah.
that you can find your spouse so fucking hot, like just after sex, right? And he's giving you the best orgasm. You're like, oh my God, you are the hottest. And then when he's annoying you, like,
ugh.
You literally find him so repulsive. I don't think guys do that to us, but I don't know if women
they
would
do. Still have sex.
I know.
Oh,
I'm like, I could be an asshole. I'd be like, eh. This comedian was talking about the ick factor
oh,
and
yeah,
the
yeah.
oops factor.
Yeah.
And like, we get the ick, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, do you remember when you were going, it's been a while for all of the three of us, but going on a date with a guy and it's going really well, and then he does that one thing?
Hate, we call it the hate
yes,
click.
And then
yeah.
it's like, my vagina. And it just goes whoop,
dries up.
I'm like, oh, we're done, like the Sahara Desert. And it just does one thing. Either it's like
right.
a weird, like, just something. But we'll wrap
yeah,
up with the
sad
walk.
Part is I don't want to walk two yeah. floors,
oh,
but I'm
you.
Going to the gym.
Because why would you do the extra work?
I haven't worked out in days. I haven't
worked out in two. I've never done this. I went on vacation. I actually chose not to work out for 2 weeks.
It's
and I'm,
a mess
no,
you need
I
a break.
And
you
working
know what?
Out once.
I did. I did. I did. I did. That's why. I worked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked
yeah.
out twice because I just wanted to now, like, I need some help. Okay, Heather. How do we end this show?
Okay.
It's been a roundabout. Thank you so much for coming.
I love you guys.
Heather,
you guys are so
you.
Fun. Roxtam, you guys are awesome.
I know, text
we
me all the time, anytime.
I
know.
I guess
me
when,
too.
When you text
Heather,
me,
we,
it makes me smile.
Yeah, we
me
need,
too.
Like,
yeah.
We need like a proper girls' night with you.
Let's
we
do.
Do
it.
I'll have my half.
You,
I'll do my
yeah.
one. I'll do
she'll
one
have
and a
half glass of wine.
No, I'll do one and a half. One and a half, and I'm on that. I'm showing you my wax. Hoo-ha.
I might need to see it. We might need to evaluate its age.
She was like, are you 40?
I
was
the
like,
experts.
You didn't even look at my face. Are you 40? Anyway, well, thank you so much. Where can people find you? And we're going to wrap up right now.
Yeah, everything's, you know, go to heatherdubrow.com. It's all there, people. It's all there.
And when people should, they should watch the reunion, what's the air date?
I don't know, but I think the show is on Wednesday. She's a great,
she just talked to her publicist.
I don't even have a publicist. I'm telling you, you got to get rid of everyone on your payroll.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Okay, except the editors of this podcast. Guys, we have Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. And Women on Top Official on TikTok.
And I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on...
Say to
Heather!
Stop! And don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment!